would you join me once again in the book of Psalms, and as we were last week, Psalms 18. And Lord willing, I'll share just a concluding message out of this psalm, Psalm 18. And again, I'll just begin with the first few verses there, but the 18th psalm. And just while I'm thinking about it, on our website, I put the notes that I use on Sunday mornings. So if you want to see them, they're available for you. And usually by Sunday afternoon, Monday at the latest, Clarence sends me the version of the message, the audio, where I can put it on the website. And that way, if you have Bluetooth or so forth in your vehicles, you can listen to it going down the road, put it in your phone, pull it up and listen to it out on a walk or whatever, cleaning the house, whatever you may be doing. Because the Bible does teach us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's a way to, as Jesus talked about planting and watering the seed, it's a way to plant and water the seed of God's word so that it could grow and increase and bear much fruit. So Psalms 18, and I'll begin reading in just a moment here, beginning in verse 3. And just a reminder, this psalm, really the whole book of Psalms, I think I mentioned last week, five books that are just poetry. They're full Bible books that are poetry, but I thought of another one this week, the book of Lamentations. It's actually five poems of a funeral song. A funeral dirge is called laments or lamentations, but it's written in poetry. And again, the poetry can inspire our imaginations and our emotions so that it can draw us in. It's like we can experience a little bit and it makes it more relatable. I believe it can help us to make it more memorable. We can remember, like some of you real quick, just how about this one? You might know the last word. Haste makes waste. You knew. So those little rhymings and so forth, whereas in our poetry is based on similar meter and sounds, the biblical poetry is based on similar ideas and truths. And so you'll find that going through the Psalms. And so these metaphors that David opens up with in Psalms 18, verse 1, says, I will love you, O Lord. And then the first one, my strength. And he gives seven truths about the Lord that he personally experienced. And the idea is that if we will trust the Lord as David did, we can experience him in the same way. So we can know the Lord as our strength. So he says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. That's the one we focused on last week. And then he goes on, he says, my God, once again, my strength in whom I will trust. That's the key to it all right there. My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation. A horn is a symbol like a ram. You know what a ram's horn is, that power and strength that comes behind it. He's saying the Lord is the power behind my salvation. He's the strength of my salvation. And then my stronghold, that's also interpreted as a strong tower. He's a tower for us. Verse 3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And then would you drop down to verse 16? Verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He, the Lord, delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They were too strong for David, but they were no match for David's God. And so this morning, here is the message. I just want to center on that truth. The Lord is my strength. Last week, the Lord is my deliverer or my rescuer. Today, the Lord is my strength. And again, he gave us these scriptures. They're recorded in God's word for us to learn and to live by. We can know the Lord as our strength. We can know him as our rock, our deliverer, our strong tower. We can know him in every way that everyone in the Bible knew him if we trust him. Let me give you one more verse on that if you want to write it down. It's Psalms 28, 7. Psalms 28 and verse 7. And I think that's it, the Bible. Yeah, it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Here it is again. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. See how the strength is linked to the trust? My heart trusted in him and I am helped. And because of that, therefore, my heart, I will greatly rejoice, and with my song, I will praise him. Now, in just a moment, I want to read you a few verses that talks about how the Lord, or why the Lord, delivered David from these strong enemies and all of his enemies. And the Bible says this. If you, some of your Bibles may have a note right above Psalms 18 where it says that David wrote this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from Saul and from all his enemies. Because it's written in 2 Samuel 22, we know that this was toward the end of his life. I want to keep, ask you to keep that in mind as I read these verses now, beginning in verse 20. Psalms 18 and verse 20, and David wrote these words, the Lord, and I want to call your attention too to the repetition, all right? The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. See how it's like the similar thoughts and ideas? So the Lord rewarded and the Lord recompensed. It was according to my righteousness and the cleanness of my hands. And let me pause there just a moment. If David had written this before, right at the end of Saul's life, Saul was the king and he was trying to kill him. And David had to run for his life. And twice David had opportunity to kill Saul. Remember, that man's trying to kill him. He had opportunity to kill him, and his advisors told him to kill him. But he trusted the Lord and said, I'm not going to do it this way. The Lord has called me, and I'm going to trust him and trust his timing and his way. And if he would have just said, he wrote this song at the time that Saul was, he delivered from Saul, I would have said, yeah, David didn't do anything to deserve that. He was trying to bless this man. But that's not what it says. It says he delivered him from all of his enemies, and he wrote it toward the end of his life. Now, if you know anything about David, you know he didn't always act righteous. He didn't always have clean hands, so to speak, did he? So what did he mean? The Lord has rewarded me on my righteousness. Well, let's keep reading here. Verse 21. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me. And here again, I did not put away his statutes from me. Two more verses. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has, and remember this, recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. How could he write that? After, if you aren't familiar, David committed adultery with a man's wife who was a leader in his army, and then had her husband sent to the front line of battle so he'd be killed to cover it up because she got pregnant. So he's saying, the Lord's rewarded me according to my righteousness. That is not a testimony of David's righteousness. It's a testimony of the power of God to forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness. This is what the scripture says. If you want to just write this down, just for sake of time, we'll stay here. But let me read you a few verses in the New Testament. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. Because the Bible says in that there are how many righteous? Any of you know how many are righteous? There is none righteous, no, not one. Not even one. But this is what the scripture says in Romans 4, 6. It says, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes, or that means he credits righteousness apart from works. David knew that his righteousness came from God's righteousness. And he said, thank God he credited me. If I had the money, I would give you all $1 million. I could credit it to your account and you could believe me and spend it. And if we believe that by faith in Jesus as Lord, the Lord credits us with his righteousness, we can receive that truth and live it out. Because righteous, let me say it this way, being right with God produces right actions. Righteousness produces the fruit of righteous deeds. So then he goes on, verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin or charge with sin, because he charged it to his son on the cross. Let me show you that. Again, Romans chapter 4, verse 23, last three verses of this chapter. The Bible says, now it was not written for his sake alone, it's speaking about Abraham here, because they both experienced it, that it was imputed or credit to him, but also for us. Would you please turn to somebody next to you and just tell them this also for us? And not just, it's for us, it shall be, again, credited to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. And then verse 25, he was delivered up, talking about he was delivered to the cross because of our offenses, but he was raised because of our justification, or to bring us into right relationship with God. I want to read you this verse from the Passion Translation. It'll be on the screen if you want to write it down, or take a screenshot, whatever you want, or I'll put it on my notes on the website, clmfamily.org. How about that? clmfamily.org. Romans 4:25, Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised back to life to prove that he had made us right with God. Thank God for the resurrection. Our righteousness is as sure as the resurrection of Jesus, because he died on the cross to pay for every sin that we've ever committed or ever will commit, but he defeated death to prove that when we believe in him, he credits us with God's righteousness, and we can rejoice that we are right with God, and then let's live that out. So that David didn't have to look back on all his failures and sins. He looked back and said, the Lord has helped me. I've stayed true to his word, but it wasn't me. He says that in other Psalms. He knew it was the grace and favor of God to help him. And the Lord was his strength, because if we're right with the Lord, it's strengthening to us. When we know we're not right with God, it's weakening. We can't say the Lord is my strength in full faith and confidence when we know our heart is not right with God. Can I get a witness, somebody? So the Lord is my strength. And so I want to just give you these real quick. Why does the Lord strengthen us? Two reasons, there are more, but I'm just for sake of time. Two, and then how does he strengthen us? Again, two, I'll try to mention them quick. But I want to tell you why he doesn't strengthen us. The Lord doesn't give us strength to push us to the point of exhaustion to wear us out. In fact, Jesus said just the opposite. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And this is what he said, take my yoke upon you. You be my disciple, you do life with me. I'll take the lead and you stay in step with me. You walk in step with my spirit. And then he said, learn from me. So come to me and learn from me. And here's how Jesus described himself. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm not trying to wear you out. I'll strengthen you if you'll learn, and maybe this is just a word from me, if I will stay in step with the Lord and learn humility from him and not think I'm all of that for everybody and take more on myself than he ordains to wear myself out, but to learn humility from him and just let him give rest in my soul. I don't know if anyone else can relate. All right, so real quick, why does the Lord strengthen us? Number one, for obedience. Why does the Lord strengthen us? The Lord is my strength, and he strengthens me so that I can do his will. He strengthens us for obedience. I'll read one scripture here, just one verse in Psalms 18. David wrote these words, Psalm 18:32, he says, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. The Lord strengthens us to do his will, and he makes our way perfect. That word also means blameless. He makes our way blameless. So we need the Lord. Oh my goodness. Don't we need the Lord to strengthen us every day to be doers of his word and not hearers only? So to strengthen us to be obedient to his word and to his will, to make our way blameless. We're not perfect, but he is, and he can help us live a life of obedience before him. Many of you could quote Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the context here is important because, you could take that and say, well, I'm going to the gym and I'm going to get this weight because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right. Would you let me load the bar? And we'll see how much you can do. That's not what it's talking about. The context, in fact, let me just read it to you. You can stay there. Let me read it to you real quick. Verse 11, this is Philippians 4:11. The Bible says this, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Wait a minute. I've learned to be content. Now, are we born content? Little toddlers, they're always content, right? They never demand their own way. They never cry because they get upset. Something didn't. We have to learn contentment, don't we? And so Paul here said, I'm not after your gift. I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Verse 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all. And that word is also translated this. And I think it fits the context better. I can do all this through Christ, through the anointed one who gives me strength. But do you see how it's ultimately all in his will? Now, Philippians 4:13 can be applied in many ways legitimately. I can be nervous and I sense the Lord wanting me to offer to pray for someone. And I can tell myself, Lord, I'm nervous. I don't even know what to say, but if you'll give me the words, I'm willing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hey, would you mind if I just had a word of prayer with you? And how hard is that? But you see how he would give us strength. He'll give us strength, but ultimately it all comes under the umbrella of doing God's will. But the context here is when I'm tempted to just spend myself into debt or feel like I've got to buy you to win you, maybe I need some different friends. Or I can refuse that. Yeah, but it's only this much. It's only another this much a month. You can get this if you do it right now. You can get a special. I've learned to be content. I've been without that for 63 years, and I'm going to keep on a little more without it. I can do all things through Christ. Do you see the context there? So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then second, why does the Lord strengthen us? He strengthens us for obedience and he strengthens us for victory. He strengthens us for obedience and he strengthens us for victory. And I want to read this scripture. There's one verse in Psalms 18 and verse 39. Psalms 18, 39. Before I read it, when I was preparing this, I believe it's also important to, because when I say victory, let's not fight unnecessary battles. How about that? I was asked the Lord for wisdom. Lord, help me to avoid unnecessary battles. I've got enough as it is, and I don't need to take on more by maybe taking on some responsibility or trying to get involved in someone's affairs I don't need to be in. Don't make everything a battle. Don't make everything a panic, but just thank God the Lord is my strength. So he will strengthen me to do his will, and he will strengthen me, though we do have to fight the good fight of faith, and he will help us fight that faith. He will give us strength for victory. The Bible says this, Psalms 18, 39. Would you look at that verse? He says, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. So you've armed me with strength for the battle. Thank God for strength from the Lord. One scripture in the New Testament, I'll just read it to you. It's Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the only way we're going to be strong. We can't fight the devil or these demon spirits in human willpower and strength, but we can fight them in the whole armor of God, and we can stand in the victory that Jesus won for us at the cross and by the resurrection because he won the ultimate battle for us. So the Lord is my strength. And then he says in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh my goodness. Our strength for victory, brothers and sisters, is in the Lord and in the power of his might. So let's put on the whole armor, let's do our part, and then let's trust God to strengthen us for the victory. The Lord is my strength. Would you please tell somebody next to you, the Lord is my strength. All right, now let me give you these two and I'm done. But I would like to ask you to turn with me to this one, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. So the Lord is my strength. Why does he strengthen us? For obedience and victory. Would you say that with me? For obedience and victory. And then how does he strengthen us? And this is, I would say, so important. He strengthens us. Because see, I can say the Lord is my strength and be just as weak as ever. I have to avail myself of the Lord's strength. And here it is. He strengthens us. One way is out of fellowship. He strengthens us by fellowship. I really believe this. The key to living the Christian life is staying in close fellowship with the Lord. The key to living the Christian life is staying in close fellowship with the Lord. And I want to read, verse 31 is a fairly popular verse. Many of you are familiar with it. But I want to go back to verse 27, all right? This is Isaiah 40 in verse 27. And the Lord asked Israel and the nation a question, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, saying, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Lord, you just don't see what I'm going through. Why do you like that, Lord? What a limited perspective. And then verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens, or the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And then here, he gives power to the weak. It's his power. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. But you see how he's the source? So again, if I'm in that close walk with the Lord, it's not my strength, it's his strength that's carrying me through. So he says, I can give strength to the weak. I can be your source. And verse 30, and I believe we're living in this day just as they were then. He says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. Age will not be enough. And he says, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That word for wait is a Hebrew word that means to hope. Some translations, if you have a different, I'm using the New King James. Some translations will say those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. But I want to tell you what that word means. It actually means to bind up together. In Genesis chapter 1 in verse 9, that Hebrew word is translated this way, Genesis 1:9. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together. Would you say gathered together? It's the same word translated weight in Isaiah 40. So let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. And then let me give you one more in Job 7 and verse 2. Job chapter 7, verse 2. So wait, gather together, hope. Job 7, 2 says, like a servant who earnestly desires the shade. You're cutting grass this time of year and you're out in the sun, you want some shade, don't you? I can tell you that. I do. And like a hired man who eagerly looks. See the word looks? It's the word translated wait in Isaiah 40. So we look forward to payday, right? Especially you work for earn it. You work for it. Well, so here's the idea. Human strength will fail, but those who put their hope in the Lord, those who are gathered together in close fellowship with him, those who look to him in faith, those who entwine their hearts with his, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Oh, man. And Isaiah, let me read that one more scripture. I asked Clarence if he'd be willing to pull this one up too. Isaiah 40, 31 in the Passion Translation, because I really believe it brings it out. It says, but those who entwine their hearts, you see that? Those who entwine their hearts with Yahweh, that's just the name of the Lord, will experience divine strength because he's the source. The Lord is my strength, not me, not my ability. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run their races without growing weary, and walk through life without giving up. Oh, man. Somebody might need that this morning. But do you see how the Lord has invited us to come? But we have to take advantage. We have to stay in close fellowship with him. Then he will help us run our race. Then we can live this life with all the battles, challenges, problems, failures, sins, all the attacks, everything that life and people can throw at us. But we will not give up by God's grace because the Lord is my strength. Ooh. So look to him in faith. And then, I got to show you this. All right. We just turn over to chapter 41, just a few verses. He's still continuing on about the Lord being our strength. Isaiah 41:10 says, don't be afraid, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And then here's what the Lord does. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord will strengthen you, brothers and sisters. The Lord will strengthen you. He will help you. He will hold you up with my righteous right hand. There's no slight to anyone left-handed. But the right hand is considered a place of power. Remember when Jesus ascended back to heaven, he was seated where? At the right hand of the Father, that place of authority and power. So, and I read this years ago, and again, I have the image in my mind. How many of you have ever helped a little child walk across maybe a busy highway or some area and you were holding by the hand, right? So you look like this. Let me see who I can. Travis, would you help me a moment? I don't know if, can this camera pick us up right here if we come right here? All right. I know he's not a little kid. He's bigger than me, so I don't want to upset him. You come over here. No, you don't need to be little. If he was just imagine, he's a little child, little Travis. I am that much older than him. And we're walking across a busy Manhattan highway because you got to watch for those cabs. And I'm holding him by my
right hand,
and we're walking across. But hold on a minute. It didn't stop there. Verse 13, could we put that on the screen? We go from verse 10 to verse 13. It says this, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Now, I know we're opposite here, all right? This is my right hand. What hand is this of his? So that's not what it says. For I, the Lord your God, will hold
your right hand
so that
I will not fear.
I have to face him.
Yes.
The Lord is my strength. So we opened up with that scripture. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face. Seek his presence continually.
Amen.
You see the difference? I mean, there's nothing wrong with holding a little child. But the idea is when God said, that really stood out to me a few years ago. When he says, no, I'm gonna hold your right hand. I can't do that unless I'm facing you.
That's right.
So like Peter, it's stormy.
Right.
But I took my focus off. Lord, save me.
That's right.
I got my focus back on the one who calms the storms and the one who is our strength. Amen. Thank you. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. And then one more. I'll give you this, and then I'll give you the last point. This scripture in the New Testament, Acts 18:23. Because the Lord will use us to help strengthen one another. The fellowship is not just limited to God because we are part of a church family. We're part of a body of Christ. So the Bible says in Acts 18:23, that after Paul had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order. And what did he do? He strengthened all the disciples. Do you see how godly fellowship with God's Spirit in us and by God's grace, we can strengthen each other? What do they say? There's strength in numbers. Thank God we don't have to go it alone. The Lord is my strength, but the Lord is your strength too. Let's strengthen one another in this walk with him. And let's encourage one another in our walk with him. And then finally, so why does he strengthen us? For obedience to do his will, victory in the battles that we face. How does he strengthen us? In holy, godly fellowship with, first of all, by his spirit, and then his spirit within other brothers and sisters in Christ. And then secondly, he also strengthens us by his word. Let me just read it to you. Psalms 119, verse 28. My soul melts from heaviness. That word also means grief. Grief, heaviness. It's like our soul drips something on the inside of us, our heart, our emotions. We're heavy on the inside. We can put on a smile, but it hurts. My soul melts from heaviness, but the psalmist knew where to turn, didn't he? Strengthen me, how? According to your word. This is more than a textbook written by humans. This is the inspired word of God, literally breathed out by God. It is life-giving and powerful. The Lord told Moses, don't neglect it. This is your life. It is your source of spiritual life, and it's your source of spiritual strength. It's life-giving, and God uses his word to convict us of our sin. He uses his word to comfort us when we're hurting and grieving. He uses his word to encourage us when we're down. He uses his word to heal us when we're hurting and grieving and we've lost someone, but he also uses his word to strengthen us when we're weak. Lord, my soul is heavy. I'm dripping on the inside here. I need you to strengthen me. Give me a word right here, Lord. Give me a word. This is our spiritual daily bread, brothers and sisters. And I said earlier, I believe these psalms, they help make the scripture, they're like object lessons, make it memorable and relatable, because people didn't have their own Bible back for most of recorded history. But they had to get it in their heart and in their mind. They meditated on it, they repeated it, and they got the image so that he could write these words, Lord, my soul is melting from heaviness, but strengthen me according to, you can give me strength by your word. If you give me a word, it'll strengthen me and help me carry on so that I don't give up. And I can be obedient to you, and I can walk in the victory you've provided for me. Brothers and sisters, let's treasure God's word enough to receive it. Let's meditate on it. In other words, let's dwell on it. Let's declare it, and ultimately, let's do it. That's where the blessing comes in. The Lord is my strength in order to do his will. So I'll close with this. Sometimes we just get tired in the battles, don't we? Battles are draining. Life can be draining at times, can it? Can't we just be real? We don't have to act like we got it all together. It can be draining. If we're tired and drained physically, we need to get physical rest. Mentally, I need to maybe take a mental break, but when we're spiritually and emotionally drained, we need to come to the Lord. We need to have that time with him. Thank God, again, we don't have to go it alone. He's invited us to come. But brothers and sisters, God doesn't do drive-by, throw out a little strength for you in our gotta have it right now culture. Sometimes we just need to make a little focused time for fellowship with the one who is our strength and the one who gives us strength. And then I get out of that time and I've got my strength renewed. I can mount up with wings like eagles because it's not my wings, it's not my strength, it's God's. So ultimately, I do his will and he gets the glory. The Lord is my strength. So he's invited us. Will you draw near? Will you draw near? We each have to make that decision. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, I just want to ask you to think about it. In fact, let me just ask. I'm not going to quiz you or interrogate you. But how many this morning would say, today, this morning, I need the Lord's strength. I need him to strengthen me because I am in a time of, Lord, bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Lord. Can we stand? Father, I just want to thank you that you are our source of strength, Lord. We can't do this without you. And you don't expect us to. You've called us to come to you. So, Lord, I want to lift up my brothers and sisters, maybe even some, I just sense it right now, are joining online. May your spirit move on every heart. Draw us to that truth that you are our strength. You are our rock, our deliverer. You are our fortress. You are our strong tower. You are our shield. You are the very present help in time of need. And Lord, help us to, if we have to set the phone aside or the TV or whatever it is for a moment, help us just to focus on you, have some fellowship with you so that you could, Lord, our hope is in you today. May you strengthen us to do your will. And Lord, I believe even by faith, as we trust you, we could go ahead and give you thanks even now. And we can exalt you and we can praise you and we can worship you because you are able to do beyond what we can ask or think. So today, let that truth be ours, that we live it out. You, Lord, are my strength, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a